Congregation may be seated. Thank you. Just on behalf of the Nesbitt family, I want to welcome you all this afternoon to the service of thanksgiving to God for the life of our sister, Mrs. Evelyn Nesbitt. Also on behalf of the session, committee, and congregation here of Bethel Free Presbyterian Church, I wish to express our deepest sympathy to the Nesbitt family. We sympathize first and foremost with Evelyn's husband, Norman, with daughter Louise and husband George, daughter Andrea, partner Mike, grandchildren Elizabeth, Thomas, James. We sympathize also with sisters Florence and Betty, Amy and husband William, sisters-in-law Myra and Diana. We also sympathize with all the nieces and nephews and the wider family circle. And to all who knew and loved Evelyn, we pray that you will know the Lord's comfort, the Lord's grace, the Lord's strength, and the Lord's presence in a very real and particular way today and in the days that lie ahead. Indeed, with Job of old, we say today, the Lord gave, the Lord have taken away, and blessed be the name of the Lord. On behalf of the family, I've been asked to say a sincere word of thank you to all the emergency services and members of the public who responded so quickly and assisted at the scene of the accident on Wednesday afternoon. And a very special word of thanks also to the PSNI and to the police liaison team for their invaluable help and assistance to Norman and the family in these very difficult and trying times in these days since the accident on Wednesday. Also, word of thanks to all the family and friends and neighbors who have called at the home and have sent messages of sympathy and have brought foodstuffs to the home. This has been deeply appreciated by the family. They want also to thank the funeral director, Mr. Keith Elliott, and his team for very caring and professional manner and help of all of the arrangements for the funeral service today. A special word of thanks also to our organist today, Mr. Richard Edwards, the media team in the church, and also the stewards at the door. The family also wish to reassure the other lady who was involved in the accident and her family of their thoughts and prayers at this time, that she too will know the Lord's touch and the Lord's healing at this time also of great trauma for her and her family. Just really one announcement I want to leave with you as a congregation. There will be refreshments after the committal out at Sadair Cemetery. Refreshments will be served in Enniskillen District Hall here in the town. And you're all welcome to come back and to meet with the family there. They'd love to see you there and to fellowship with them. And that'll give you an opportunity to speak with them and to support them at this time. So do please remember that. We're going to turn to the first hymn in our order of service. And can I say all these hymns were chosen by Evelyn for her funeral service. She had all these written down in her own Bible on a piece of paper. These were the hymns, the four hymns that she requested and desired to be sung at her funeral service. And the family are following her wishes for these hymns to be sung. I understand this first hymn was also the favorite of her mother, and it's a lovely old gospel hymn. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. We'll stand as we sing and as the organist leads us in our praise. And immediately after the singing of this hymn, Reverend Gray, former minister of the congregation here for many years, Evelyn's minister, will come and open the meeting in prayer. And then immediately after that, also the Reverend Ivan Foster, former minister here and a close family friend as well for many years, will come and bring a few remarks and also read the scriptures. And we thank these brethren for helping and assisting in the funeral service today. We'll stand as we sing as the organist leads us in our praise.
Ask the Reverend Gray now to come and lead us in prayer, please. Just before I open in prayer today, could I sincerely sympathize with the family, the loss of Evelyn today, to Norman. You've been very much in our prayers, brother, over these past days. And we will continue to remember you around the throne of grace. Louise and Andrea and their family, the grandchildren, and Evelyn's sisters as well. And the wider Nesbitt and God family circle. We do pray that the Lord will give you help, not only today, but in the days that lie ahead. Let's all bow in a wee word of prayer. Our loving Father in heaven, we come before thee today in the name of the Lord Jesus, our Savior, pleading the merits of the precious blood. And we thank thee, Lord, that we can come before thee, the God of all comfort. And we pray today, Lord, in this service, that as we listen to thy word, O God, that thy word would bring comfort to our souls. We thank thee, Lord, and we praise thee for every happy remembrance of our sister Evelyn. We thank thee, Lord, for that day especially in her life when she came and trusted thee as her Savior and as her Lord. And we thank thee, Lord, for her life from that day until the day she went home to glory. O God, we do pray today, however, that you would comfort the family, continue to sustain them, and O God, not only today, but tomorrow and in the days that lie ahead, that they might know in a very special way that underneath and round about are the everlasting arms. We think especially of Norman today. O God, we pray that you'll surround him with your love, and Lord, that he might know the very presence of the Lord with him. We pray for Louise and Andrea and their families. We pray, Lord, for the grandchildren. We pray, Lord, for Evelyn's sisters and the wider family circle. Oh God, we pray this day that as we meet, Lord, at this funeral service, Lord, that you would draw specially near. We thank thee and praise thee for our blessed Savior, the one who has promised that he will never leave us nor forsake us. He's a friend that sticketh closer than any brother. And O God, at such a time, we thank thee that we can cast our burden upon thee. Therefore, Lord, we commit the service to thee. We pray, Lord, that you would bless your servants as they would take part in this service. We pray especially, Lord, for the one that will open up the word of God. And O God, may our hearts be comforted and may our lives afresh be challenged. We thank thee and praise thee for the gift of God, which is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. We praise thee for the love of God, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And O God, we pray for everyone here today at this service, that we might be able to read our title clear to mansions in the sky. We thank thee that there is a heaven to gain. And O God, how we praise thee today that our sister Evelyn has left this scene of time to go home to her eternal reward. And we thank thee, Lord, that she has seen the King face to face. O God, may that truth comfort and strengthen our souls this day. And Lord, we pray that in the days that lie ahead, that the family might take great comfort in knowing that Evelyn is with the Lord, which is far better. Lord, we do remember this other lady that was caught up in the accident. We pray for her today, Lord, and we ask thee that you would touch her body and raise her to full health and strength again. And O God, undertake for her family in these circumstances as well. We just commit our way to thee now, Lord. Bless this service. May we know a real sense of thy presence. In our Savior precious name we ask it. Amen.
Perhaps I could first and foremost thank Norman for the kind invitation given to me to take part in the funeral service. It's hard to express how you feel when you are so invited. You can hardly say you're happy. And yet, It does please me to have an opportunity to take part here today. I will be reading the scriptures in a few minutes. I'm leaving it to the last because no matter how sincere are the words of sympathy that any one of us can express, there is nothing that comforts us like the Word of God. And for that reason, I want to close my few remarks with what God has to say. Bidding farewell to a loved one whose life has ended, and in the circumstances in which we meet today, ended suddenly, unexpectedly. Someone whom we will never meet again in this scene of time is heartbreaking. It is especially so when that loved one has been the very heart and center of the lives of individuals in the family circle in particular that are gathered here today. This is a heartbreaking time, but bless God, He has ointment for a broken heart. And may that be applied today. It is for this reason that I want to offer, along with others, my sincerest sympathy to the whole Nesbitt family. You know, I look down upon the family and friends here, many of whom I can remember as but youngsters attending school. I needn't tell them they've changed a little. And trying hard not to imagine what you're thinking looking up at me and the changes you perhaps see there, but today has meaning for me. I'm no stranger coming to take part in a funeral. I'll not say I'm a member of the family, but I'm as close to being a member of the family as I suppose it can for a non-member to be. Norman, Louise, and Andrea, your loved ones, the wider circle, sisters-in-law, we offer our sincere sympathy at this time and commend you to the Lord. I was reminded this morning of a little verse of scripture, or part of a verse of scripture. A long time ago, 1917, my granny Foster lost a son in World War I, killed on the 1st of April, 1917. He wasn't even 18 years of age. He was a sergeant in the Enniskillen Fusiliers. It broke my granny's heart. Some would even say it shortened her life. But when asked for something to put on his gravestone in France, she hit upon, decided upon, was led to a few words from Luke's Gospel, the chapter 24 and the verse 15. Jesus himself drew near. That's what she experienced, Norman, and the whole family circle. May you know that today. There is none who can sympathize and comfort like the Savior. For me today, I have lost a friend. I was looking at the picture on the order of service. Many times that dear lady encouraged me, for she shared my convictions on events in recent times and boldly stood for what was true. She was a fellow laborer in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think it's not insignificant that on the day she left this scene of time and went to be with the Lord, she was just completing an act of kindness. Her heart was moved for others who weren't as well off. And she gathered together surplus garments and took them into a charity shop. That, to me, was Evelyn Nesbitt, a woman who for years has been suffering severe illness. And in more recent times, increased complications, but there she was, doing what she could for others. Doing what she could for others. My own links with Mrs. Nesbitt goes back way to the 1960s when I first met her father and mother. I can still see them both. Many times I visited that wee home in Springfield. In fact, I could say many times I kaleed in it. I was welcome there. Old Mrs. Gott was the very epitome of a godly Christian Ulster woman. I never forget her. I never have. And oftentimes, her lovely face comes before me. What sweet fellowship I had in that home, in very troublesome times, as it was in the country. Evelyn's pilgrimage to glory ended on Wednesday past. Whatever our thoughts may be regarding the conclusion of her pilgrimage, just you bear in mind that at this moment she is rejoicing, as you and I cannot even begin to imagine, in the presence of her Savior. She's rejoicing in the wonderful mercy of God. There's not a shadow of a question regarding her exit from this scene of time. No, no, no. For her today, all is mercy, all is love, all is grace. Brought up in a home where the gospel was taught, brought to the feet of Christ, walking for years in obedience to his word, she is now in his presence in the mansions of glory, singing. Singing. Paul said to be with Christ is far better. And I can almost hear Evelyn say that, shout that today. The last verse of that opening hymn, I thought so suited her to the old rugged cross, I will ever be true. In a day when there is so much wandering away from the gospel, Evelyn never wandered. It's shame and reproach, gladly bear. That was true of her too. Then he'll call me someday. Wednesday came as a surprise to us all. But in truth, not to Evelyn. She knew he would call her one day to her home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. My dear friends, Norman and family, may the Lord comfort and bless you all. And all who with you mourn the passing of a dear lady. I'd like to read some words now, please, from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It's only a short passage, a very familiar passage, but there's something about God's word. It never becomes too familiar so that it loses its power to bless. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning at the verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. Christian, God wants you to know all about life and death and what happens to the child of God when they die. There's a lot of ignorance about that subject, even among Christians. But it ought not to be so. Concerning them which are asleep. That's the term God uses. Norman, Evelyn's asleep. In the sense that as every one of us sleep, only to be awakened. And if we get a half good sleep, we awake refreshed. That's the future for the child of God. That's the future for the child of God. That ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord. He was speaking now with authority. That we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent. That's an old word, the meaning of which we've somewhat forgotten. It simply means we which are alive and remain shall not go before. As somebody who seeks to prevent you by standing in front of you. So that's the meaning of the word. There's going to be no first and second class believer on the day of resurrection. No, we which are alive and remain shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. Together. Should we live to the return of Christ? Then, dear Christian and dear family members, if you're saved today, you'll meet your loved one and you together you will be in the presence of the Lord. We'll be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord, never depart again, if I might add those words. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. The Lord bless you, one and all.
Do thank the Lord's servants, the Reverend Gray, for leading and prayer, and Reverend Foster for the scriptures and for the appropriate remarks that they've made and their expressions of sympathy to the family on this sad occasion. We're going to turn to our second hymn in our order of service. Second hymn in the order of service, Brightly Beams Our Father's Mercy. From his lighthouse evermore, but to us he gives the keeping of the lights along the shore. This was another one, hymn that Evelyn has picked for this occasion. We'll stand as we sing, and singing it out heartily unto the Lord as the organist leads us in her praise. This stage of our service now, we're going to ask Evelyn's two daughters, Louise and Andrea, to come up to the lectern just to give a tribute, personal tribute, to their mother. God bless. May the Lord help you.
Words cannot express how I felt about my mum and the amazing, beautiful woman she was. Mum was born in Randlesheuk, Menai, on the 25th of June 1941 and was blessed with a joyous and very close-knit family. Her childhood was filled with adventures, and they shared countless stories of their escapades. In those moments of laughter and love were ever present, ensuring that there was never a dull moment. She was always the one that kept the fun going, and she was the one that was always up to the tricks. She was raised on a farm and very much involved in the farm life. She walked miles to her piano lessons, as she loved music and dancing. She was always first on the dance floor, encouraging others to join her. She was in a choir at Manet, and she worked in Taylor Woods and as a dental receptionist at Maguire's in Enniskillen. It was in the midst of everyday life my mum met the love of her life, my dad. And I hear this story often told. as he visited the Gott's house while he was on his job. And my mum was filled with curiosity about this man. She was at the top of the stairs looking down, peering down at this tall, big, tall man from Belfast with a strange accent. Little did she know that day that she would end up marrying this man and being his wife for nearly 59 years. Their first date was an unforgettable one. His dad whisked her away in his brand new car. However, fate had a sense of humour as the wooden floor in the lovely new car collapsed, leaving their feet practically on the road. I'm not sure what happened there, but Mum moved away from Fermanagh to be close to Dad when his job took him back up to Belfast. And she got a wee job as a live-in doctor's receptionist in Moira. They got married in Monet Church in August 64, another eventful day. As the wedding guests, this is only in Fermanagh this would happen, by the way. As the wedding guests were left wondering why my mother wasn't at the church, they had a long wait. Eric Scott was at the front of the church with all the rest of the guests equally wondering what was going on until it dawned on him that he was the one that was supposed to be picking her up and bringing her to church. They moved back up to Belfast in the early 80s in the height of the Troubles, and they lived in various addresses including Finnachy, where Louise and I were born. Due to Dad's ill health, they moved back to Fermanagh temporarily, but that became permanent, and they put down roots. Dad built the house that they lived in for 46 years. Mum got a job as an assistant head cook at Fermanagh College, and she just loved the banter and the crack working with the ladies in the kitchen, even though it was hard work. Mum enjoyed being back in Fermanagh, close to my grandparents, Bob and Sally Gott, and all of the family connections she had here. Mum was always known for her love of healthy food, and she would regularly do her weekly shopping in Greens in Lisburn, which isn't round the corner, and that was a source of many jokes in the house. She would forage for dandelions and nettles to make soup and quiches. Dad was very often oblivious to the ingredients that he... and the recipes and the concoctions, but he enjoyed what he was given. The larder was always stocked with unusual items, and it still makes me smile to remember back to Dad's reaction on finding the mussel-lipped tea. My mum was given the title as Dr. Nesbitt in the family, and she had a cure for everything. I'll never forget the time she cracked an egg over my head as a replacement hair for hair conditioner. Our family home was filled with love and great memories of family times, and the house was always full of my cousins, you know, in the summer holidays, the Pattersons and the Gotts. Mum, never forget my mum trying to fit us all of the Gotts and us in the wee green mini. We had many trips on the boat, Dad's boat in Lough Erne, and fishing trips and picnics on different islands. And caravan holidays in the UK and France were the best. Mum was often a spot checker of bathrooms and restaurants before choosing to dine in them. Sometimes when we went for family meal, Mum would go in first, would decide that she wasn't hungry, and you just knew that she'd spotted something that wasn't to her favour. One particular memory was in France of so having ordered a meal, so all sat down waiting for this lovely dinner to come out. Mum overheard the chef pluckering, as Mum would say, in the kitchen over the food he was preparing. All I can remember of that, and I was quite young, but I can remember us being chased down the street by this really angry French chef. I wasn't happy. The star rating in recent years was a go-to for my mum. And should never, ever go into a place that was rated less than 5. Mum was very involved in the church. And it was so important to her. It was everything to her, the church. She played the organ, and for many years she did the flowers for harvest. on Remembrance Day. She was so kind. And she always thought about the wee man, the old person living on their own, the sick. And it wasn't unusual for my mum to find somebody else. She'd always find somebody at the kitchen table on a Sunday. Mum would bring dinners to people, do their shopping, their cleaning. There's a wee old lady that used to live near us. The cats, she used to feed the cats as well. She'd go gardening for them, countless people over the years, and never went to see anyone empty-handed. She'd always put others before herself. She was an inspiration to us all. I miss you, Mum.
I know my Lord's with me now, but this is nerve-wracking, but I'm doing it for you, Mum. She got us all through our tough times, and she loved her grandchildren so much. She lived by faith, and she would always put others first before herself. She loved nature, flowers, and many times she would find injured birds and put them in shoeboxes and kittens that had been dumped by the side of the road. Sometimes it was like a zoo at our house with chickens, pheasants. And one time she purchased a goat called Jenny, which would wander into the kitchen on occasion. Later, Dad got some beehives, which was great. But one time, Andrea remembers phoning Mum while she was in the car, so Andrea could hear her as there was a buzzing sound. And it turns out that she was in the car with Dad, and they were transporting beehives with live bees in the red caddy van. And this was when she was allergic to bees, so health and safety was never really a consideration in our family. I will never forget one time we were in the garden, Andrea and I, and Mum's golf car was in the garage, and she had forgotten to put the handbrake on. And we were on the bottom lawn playing, and suddenly we saw the car started reversing out of the garage, and we thought that Mum was going to town. As we were running towards the car lurched back on its own and overturned on its roof on the bottom garden. In recent years, she was really struggling with many health issues, which has been incredibly hard for her. And her faith in God was her strength and saw her through all the pains and aches that she suffered. After she got out of hospital and Dad got out at the same time, both having had cancer, and that was tough for us being in England as well. My sister talks about seeing Mum and Dad sitting holding hands with their arm around each other on the sofa when they got out of hospital. They teased each other, but they were inseparable and they were always there for each other. But in recent weeks, Mum's sense of humour returned. Mum will always be remembered by her sense of humour, her smile and the twinkle in her eye. When Andrea and I were kids, she always played jokes on us, and Andrea was afraid of moths, so Mum would chase Andrea around the house with a moth and the roars of laughter from her when she did it. Her sense of humour had returned recently with her wee sparkle, and I felt my Mum had returned again. Since being home, she'd bought a lovely wee dress that she was looking forward to wearing. And she would have looked gorgeous in it. She was a real lady. I had a very close bond with her, and we rang each other nearly every day, spending an hour on the phone at least. We were like one. I sent her cards and gifts to let her know I loved her so much and was always thinking of her. I tried to come over as often as I could, but this was not always possible. God had a reason for taking her, and maybe that was to bring all of our family to the Lord. She was my sunshine, my life, my rock, my friend. She was the wind beneath my wings, but I am reassured that she is in heaven and not suffering anymore. Mum's legacy will live on in our family, and I am sure that my son Thomas has inherited her genes, as he is definitely a prankster like her, and made Mum laugh and always cheered her up. She adored all of you too, Elizabeth and James, just adored you. God made a wonderful mother. He made her smile of the sunshine, and he molded her heart of pure gold. In her eyes he placed bright shining stars, in her cheeks fair roses you see. God made a wonderful mother, and he gave that dear mother to me. As you leave today, let me cry, let me say, my mum was my rock, leading me to right, forgiving and loving, a star so bright. So I lose today my support, my light, my dear mum, making my life bright. I love you. Thank you, mum, for everything. And I hope one day we meet in heaven.
Thank you to Andrea and Louise for that very touching and appropriate tribute to their mother that they loved so dearly. We're going to ask now one of the grandchildren, Elizabeth, also to come and bring a word of tribute to her grandmother. Thank you.
The light and joy that my granny brought to all of us was infectious. Her warmth and kindness and generosity to the community that loved her deeply will be missed indefinitely. You showed us all the importance of being kind and how we should all be a bit nicer to each other and be there for one another. You taught us how we should always help those around us, those that are struggling, and that a little kindness goes a long way. To be able to be brought up and guided by such an inspirational, strong and determined lady has been an absolute honour and privilege. She showed us that you can make it through anything if you have faith and lead with a good heart. You will always inspire me to be good and to do good and to be better, to be a voice for those who can't speak up and to look after and support and lean on those around us. The love and wisdom and guidance that you gave to all of us will stay with us forever and never be forgotten and in our hearts forever. She's my role model and I will always look up to her and admire her for the love and the impact that she brought to all of our lives. And this will continue to stay in our hearts forever and I will miss you so much. She's my best friend.
Thank you, Elizabeth, for that very touching tribute to your grandmother. We're going to turn now just to our order of service again, please, to our third hymn, the order of service. And again, this was chosen by Evelyn for today. It says, there are loved ones in the glory whose dear forms you often miss. When you close your earthly story, will you join them in the bliss? We'll stand as we sing, as the organist leads us in our praise.
Will you join the leader?
seated. Thank you. I would just like to say this afternoon, on a personal note, it has been a privilege to have known Mrs. Evelyn Nesbitt, and also to become acquainted with her husband, Norman, and the family. It has been a great blessing over the years during our ministry here in this part of the Lord's vineyard. And it is very evident from all that has been said today, and indeed from our times in the family home, that Evelyn was a woman who loved her family dearly. They were very precious to her. She loved her husband, Norman, married for over 59 years, loved her daughters and the families and the wider family circle. They were all very close to her. She was close also to her sisters, and also she felt very deeply the loss of her two brothers, John and also George. And she had the great joy of pointing John to the Lord, and she had the great joy also of seeing her brother George coming to know and to trust the Lord as Savior shortly before he passed away from this scene of time. And it has been said that Evelyn was a good neighbor. She was especially helpful to others in need, less fortunate than ourselves. And she was a woman who was very patriotic, who loved her country dearly. We can also say that Evelyn and her husband have been faithful members here of this church and congregation for many years. And in serving the Lord in this church, as has been already mentioned, she played the organ for many years. She helped with the decorating for the harvest and the remembrance service. She even had things gathered in last week for our harvest weekend here to decorate the church this weekend. She assisted with Bethel Children's Crusade as well in helping to evangelize and reach children with the gospel. And she made many suppers for visiting preachers down throughout the years. And though curtailed in these ministries in recent years due to her battle with cancer, Evelyn regularly attended the meetings here, and she was highly thought of by the congregation. I know she'll be deeply missed by all the members and friends of our congregation. And people, there are many commendable things I could say to you today about Evelyn, but most importantly of all, she was saved by God's grace. You see, many years ago when she was young, she realized her need as a lost, guilty, hell-deserving sinner before Almighty God. And with that realization as a repentant sinner, she put her faith, she put her trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God alone, and in His sacrifice alone for her salvation. And it was indeed by God's grace that she lived the Christian life. It was indeed by God's grace that she served the Lord. And daily she read her Bible. Daily she prayed. She prayed for family. She prayed for friends. She prayed for neighbors. She prayed for the Lord's servants near and far whom she knew. Last Lord's Day, she was with us here, and her husband Norman sitting in the back of the church there in the center aisle. And as she left the precincts here of the church, she was talking to an individual who was here that morning. And the last thing that she said to that particular individual before getting into the car to take her journey home, she says, "I pray for you every day." And that was the mark of the woman. She was a prayer warrior. Indeed, no doubt we will miss her prayers immensely here in this congregation and in this part of the Lord's vineyard. But you know, the day that Evelyn was saved, she commenced her journey to heaven. On a Wednesday afternoon last week, in difficult and tragic circumstances to the family, the Lord called Evelyn home to glory, to be with Himself forevermore. Indeed, today, as a family, there is great pain, there is great heartache for you all. For Evelyn, as wife and mother and grandmother, was the heart of your home. But today, you do not sorrow as those who have no hope. For Evelyn has gone to be with her Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in heaven. She is now with the one whom she loved on earth, and the one whom she served on earth in this scene of time. And we praise God, we thank God for the saving grace in her life, and the triumph of God's grace in her life day by day. And in the time that is left, I want just to read one more verse of Scripture with you this afternoon and leave some remarks with you from that verse. And our verse is Philippians chapter 1 and the verse number 23. Philippians chapter 1 and the verse number 23. I'll read that verse with you. It says, "For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." The words of this verse were spoken by the Apostle Paul. Paul was a man who was saved also by God's grace, born again of the Holy Spirit. He's now in the latter time of his life. He's in a Roman prison, soon to be martyred for his own Christian faith. And in this chapter, he tells of his desire for heaven. And heaven is the eternal home of all who are saved and all who know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior from sin. And he says in this great verse, he says, "For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." Speaking here of heaven, he says, it is to be with Christ, which is far better. And in these words, there's some very important lessons for us all to consider and think about on an occasion like this today. First of all, in these words, we see a great confidence. For as Paul here speaks of leaving this world, leaving this scene of time, with great confidence, he says in this verse that he shall be with Christ. He was absolutely sure of heaven, of being with Christ. And can I say, this is how it was also with our sister, Mrs. Evelyn Nesbitt. She too was sure of going to heaven one day, and today her soul is with Christ in heaven. And Wednesday afternoon passed in the accident. Her soul left her body and immediately entered into the Lord's presence in heaven. As the hymn writer says, today she is in the land of the blessed, in the land that is fairer than day. For Evelyn, and Wednesday afternoon passed, for her it was to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. That was her confidence in her life. And the reason for Paul's confidence and being certain for heaven was due to his Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It was due to the fact that he himself was redeemed, redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You see, there was a time in his life when he, as a repentant sinner, came by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, put his faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for his salvation. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, he could say, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, he could say, "This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." And can I say, this is how it was also with Evelyn. Yes, there was a time in her life when she realized her need as a lost sinner before Almighty God. And with that realization, God opened her heart and mind to the gospel, and she came in faith, simple childlike faith, to the Lord Jesus Christ, and she trusted in him, put her whole confidence in what Jesus Christ had done for her upon the cross of Calvary, and rested upon him alone for her salvation. You see, the Bible says, "For by grace are you saved." It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And the day she put her faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, she became a child of God. She became a child of the King. That day God forgave all her sins. That day she was born again of the Holy Spirit of God. That day she commenced her journey to heaven. And on Wednesday afternoon past, the Lord called Evelyn Nesbitt home to heaven, home to glory. For his promise to all his children is this, he says, I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Grieving family and friends, in the midst of your deep sorrow, there is joy. Yes, there is joy in knowing that Evelyn is in heaven with Christ. Christ who loved her. Christ who gave himself for her. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul, he said these words. He says, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Paul was absolutely sure and confident that the Lord who had saved him on the road to Damascus, that the same Lord would keep him unto life eternal, unto glory, and bring him to heaven one day. And this was Evelyn Nesbitt's confidence as well. She knew that the Lord Jesus Christ, who saved her many years ago, would keep her unto everlasting life and keep her unto glory itself. You see, dear friends and family, this afternoon I say to you today that the Lord Jesus Christ is a mighty Savior. He is a Savior that is worthy of all our trust, every single one of us in this gathering. The Bible says of the Lord Jesus Christ that he is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. And that word there, uttermost, really means forevermore. He saves and he keeps forevermore for all of eternity. In these words we see a great confidence. We also see in these words before us a great comfort. For here in Philippians chapter 1, verse 23, Paul the Apostle, he speaks, he says, of being with Christ. Then he adds these words, which is far better. And those words there, far better, really mean beyond all human comprehension in this scene of time. Beyond all expression here in this earth. My Paul knew that being with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven would be better than all the blessings he had known here on earth on this scene of time. This was Paul's comfort. And my, this was Evelyn Nesbitt's comfort as well. And today Evelyn is in heaven and she is experiencing blessing that is far greater, far better than any blessing she has ever known and enjoyed here on earth. You see, today her soul is in the immediate presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, her Savior. And speaking of that great hope and blessing, the psalmist David said to the Lord, in thy presence there is fullness of joy, at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. It was Andrew Bonner, the preacher of a bygone day, who said, dying for the believer is just more of Christ. And that's how it is for Evelyn. Today she sees her Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, face to face. Today also we can say that Evelyn's soul is in that place where there is no more sin. The Bible speaks of heaven and says, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth. And never, ever again will Evelyn ever be troubled or grieved over sin in this life, in this world, in the scene of time, because there is no sin in God's heaven. And we can also say that today Evelyn's soul is in that place where there is no more tears, no more sickness, no more pain, no more death, no more partings. For heaven is a place of eternal life. Listen to what the Bible says, God's precious word in Revelation chapter 21, verse 4, it says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Never, ever again, dear family and grieving family and friends today, will Evelyn ever suffer the pains and the trials and the sorrows and the griefs of this life. They are all over in heaven. They never enter into heaven and never enter into God's glory. We can also say today that Evelyn is reunited with other saved loved ones who have died knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and have gone on to heaven before her. The Apostle Paul spoke of this great hope in his heart as he wrote to Christians in his day. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 19, he said these words. He says, "For what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming?" And Paul, yes, he was looking forward to meeting together with other believers in heaven, those even whom he had known here on earth. And her sister Evelyn Nesbitt is now reunited in eternal fellowship, unbroken fellowship, with other believers and other loved ones whom she knew here in this scene of time, who have died in the Lord Jesus Christ, have died knowing him as their Savior. And likewise, those of you in our gathering today also who are saved, family, friends, and loved ones, you too can look forward. Look forward with hope to meeting with Evelyn in the glory. Oh, grieving family and friends, take comfort today that Evelyn Nesbitt is with the Lord Jesus Christ, as it says in her verse, which is far better. And this is all due to God's saving grace on her life. The fact that the Lord saved her many years ago and kept her. She put her faith, her trust in the Lord Jesus. Her faith was safely anchored in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to be her Savior. The Bible speaks of the Lord Jesus and says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." And I know today as a family, your hearts are broken, sorrowing, grieving. You miss Evelyn, will miss her sorely. But remember that she's in heaven. And Evelyn would not want to come back again to this world of woe and suffering. She's with Christ, which is far better. The confidence of these words, the comfort of these words. One final thought this afternoon. Notice the challenge that we see in these words. In this verse here in Philippians chapter 1, and the verse number 3, or 23, the challenge of these words of Paul and this verse is that it is only those who are saved who shall be in heaven and be with Christ, which is far better. Only those who are saved will be in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ, which is far better. You see, the Bible, the Word of God, shows you and I that after this life, after this world, the scene of time, there are two destinies for mankind in eternity. Yes, there is heaven, God's eternal home for all who are saved by the grace of God, all who are redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Heaven is a place that every believer in Christ can look forward to. But friends and family today, the Word of God also warns you and I that there is another place in God's eternity. And that place is that place which the Bible calls hell. Describes to us as the lake of fire, the place of outer darkness where there is weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And that place of God's eternal punishment for all who die in their sin and die unsaved. You see, the Bible says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. You read through the Gospels, read through the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he warns you and I time after time after time in his public ministry of the wrath to come. In Luke chapter 16, he tells us about a certain individual. He says of a certain individual, a certain rich man who also died, and Christ said these words, and he was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. And there he is warning you and I of the wrath to come. Grieving family and friends today, loved ones, neighbors, let me say this, that if you are to be saved from a lost eternity in hell, if you are to escape the wrath to come, and if you are to go to heaven and enter into heaven one day. Dear friend, today you must be saved. That's the message of the Bible. That's the message of the gospel. That was the message that Evelyn heard many years ago and received and accepted for herself. You see, the Bible says you must be born again. And when the Lord Jesus Christ uttered those words, he was speaking to a man called Nicodemus, a very religious man, very respectable man, a very upright man in the community where he lived. But he said to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see or enter into the kingdom of God. And dear friends and family, that is something that applies to every single one of us here in this gathering, if we are to be in heaven one day. And friend, the way for you to be saved from your sins is to come by faith to Christ, and simple childlike faith. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ and trust him to be your Savior. Confess your sins to him. Trust in his atoning blood that he shed upon the cross of Calvary. And ask him to save you. Ask him to wash away your sins. And I tell you this upon the authority of the Word of God, he will not turn you away. He says in his Word, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. The Bible declares that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Dear friend, that's what the Lord did for Evelyn many years ago. Cleansed away her sin, he forgave her sin, he saved her soul, he set her on the road to heaven. And that's what the Lord can do for you today. If you too will come as a sinner to Christ and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for your salvation. Why? Because Christ has come. He died upon the cross for sinners. He rose again. The Bible says of the Lord Jesus Christ, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. And you can be saved today, set on the road to heaven. Your sins forgiven by putting your faith and trust in Christ alone for salvation. Oh, let me say today, it is not trusting in ourselves. Sometimes people will say that to the minister, the preacher, I'm trusting in myself. I'm doing the best I can to be saved and to get to heaven. The best you and I can ever do will never make us a fit for heaven. It is not trusting in any man in this scene of time. It is not trusting in the church. It is not trusting in the ordinances of the church. It's not trusting in our good works or our giving to others. We cannot buy heaven with our own money and the works of self-righteousness, the works of man, no. God says in his word that salvation is by faith alone, in and through the Lord Jesus Christ alone. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. The Lord says, look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. I would say to every one of you in this service this afternoon, no matter who you are, no matter what your background is, if you come as a poor and needy sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith and call upon him for salvation, confessing your sins to him, trusting in him alone and a sacrifice alone for salvation, the Lord will save you. He will forgive your sins and he will bestow upon you the great gift of eternal life. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says, this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. That was the portion that Evelyn Nesbitt had and rejoiced on here on earth. She is now rejoicing in that eternal portion today. Oh, if you have not already done so, then I would urge you even today to come by faith to Christ. Trust in Him alone to save you. Then you too shall go one day to heaven. As it says in this verse before us, you will go one day to be with Christ, which is far better. May God bless His word today to every heart and to every soul for Jesus' sake. We'll just close with a word of prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Father, for Thy presence with us here in this service of thanksgiving to our sister, Mrs. Evelyn Nesbitt. We thank Thee for all the remarks that have been made. Lord, speaking of endearment, speaking of love, we thank Thee for the reading of Thy precious and holy word, the great hope and comfort of the Scriptures. We thank Thee for the hymns that have been sung. Lord, how they have been a blessing and a challenge and encouragement to our hearts. And Lord, we just thank Thee for help given in the ministry of Thy word, and bless Thy word to all who have gathered today. We thank Thee, Lord, for each one in the gathering who is saved. Bless them, encourage them, lead them on with God. And any today who know not the Lord as Savior, we pray that even this day they'll come and put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation. Bless the family, we pray, especially today. We pray for Norman. We pray that You'd bless him, Louise and Andrea and all the family and the family circle. And Lord, we commit them all to Thee, we pray. Be unto them all that they would need and require. Be with them and bless them as they take their journey now from the church and make their way to the graveside. Go with them and go before them. And Father, we pray that they will know Thy grace and Thy strength and Thy help to be their abundant portion. Here in heaven, Thy dwelling place, and answer prayer. For we ask all these things for Jesus' sake and glory, giving Thee thanks. Amen and amen. We're going to bring our meeting to a close this afternoon by singing the final hymn in the order of service. God be with you till we meet again. By His counsel's guide uphold you, with His sheep securely fold you. God be with you till we meet again. We'll stand as we sing and ask you then to remain standing. After we sing this hymn, we'll have the benediction, and then remain standing as the remains, as the coffin is taken from the church, and we make our way then to the graveside. We'll stand as we sing, as the organist leads us, please.
love of God, the abiding fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and remain and abide with each one this day and always. Amen.